Welcome to Obesity, a Disease, the official Obesity Medicine Association podcast exploring the many facets of the disease of obesity. I'm Mark Labriola, and in this episode, obesity medicine specialist and OMA clinical education director, Dr. Nicholas Pennings, interviews Dr. Tanya Vinton, a speaker from Overcoming Obesity 2019, about challenges to overcoming weight plateaus. Obesity, a Disease podcast is brought to you by the Obesity Medicine Association, the clinical leader in obesity medicine.
Hello and welcome to the OMA podcast. I'm Dr. Nick Pennings, family physician, chair of family medicine at the Campbell University School of Osteopathic Medicine, and executive director of clinical education at the OMA. And I have with me Dr. Tanya Vinton. She is double boarded certified in internal medicine and obesity medicine. Currently, she's medical director for the Nutrition and Weight Management Program at Baylor University Medical Center in Dallas. Additionally, she's the president and founder of the Dallas Obesity Society and member of the OMA since 2012. Welcome to our podcast.
Thank you.
So Dr. Vinton gave a lecture on breaking plateaus, a big challenge that we face in treating patients with obesity now. So, and they're common and even expected, yet very frustrating part of weight loss for both the patient and the clinician. So what are your thoughts on why they occur?
So we have natural set points in weight. This is just a natural part of how our bodies are. And so just like with temperature regulation, sodium regulation, our weight is also regulated hormonally, and this really prevents the weight from going up and down. So at any time in which you lose weight, your body kind of has to get used to being at that lower weight before it'll decide if it's willing to drop some more.
And so that concept of adaptive thermogenesis, as soon as our body starts to lose weight, our hormonal changes then are going to increase appetite, and hormones that regulate satiety go down. And so those are some of the drivers of hunger, and those challenges get larger and larger as we move along.
Yes, that's what I believe. Correct.
And one of the challenges around that is patients often have very high expectations for weight loss. And this is partially driven by media advertising, which commonly promotes rapid short-term weight loss. How do you manage expectations for weight loss with patients?
So I totally agree. I always think of that show, The Biggest Loser, that used to be on, where patients would lose, I don't know, like 15, 20 pounds a week. And then my patients will come in and be frustrated that they only lost 10 pounds in 1 month, which is incredible.
Yeah.
So it is very important to talk about realistic weight loss goals, especially over the long term. One of the big things that I talk to patients about is, hey, the number is just, that's just a scale number. That's literally what the gravitational pull is on your body. You are way more than a number. You're here to improve your health. We need to look at other markers that your health is improving. So like your glucose numbers, your cholesterol numbers, your blood pressure numbers. Those are much more important numbers that we should also focus on, not just the number on the scale. So there are healthy ways to lose weight and there are unhealthy ways to lose weight. And we need to make sure that everything that we do is for a healthy weight loss goal. Also, I like to tell people, hey, let's think about some non-weight loss goals that you want to achieve in this process. So for example, one of my patients told me that he wanted to work with me because he just turned 40 and he has a one-year-old son, and he was too large to really be able to do anything active. He felt that it was very, very important for him to lose weight and get healthier. So one, he could actually stay around and see his son grow up. And then two, as his son is growing up, he can play ball and run with him. So these are really, really good non-weight number related goals that I stress to patients to have, because those motivators will really keep them on track when they hit a plateau. It's easy to give up when you hit the plateau, but if you know that you have bigger motivators there, that can really help you keep going.
Right, a vision of what your life might be like once you get down to a healthy weight. I think that's a great image to help a patient build and part of that. And also looking at the quality of life indicators as well, right? How your mobility, your sleep, your pain levels, all those things improve your quality of life too. And people, I often find patients miss that. They just look at the number on the scale, right?
Right, because we have come to believe that weight is just like the superficial thing. Very few patients truly understand when they first come in to meet with me that their obesity is tied to really most of their ailments. And yes, when we treat obesity, it is about improving your health holistically. Once they start to really kind of understand this message and utilize healthier lifestyle things in their everyday, yes, they improve in all sorts of ways. Their mood is better, their sleep is better, their affect is better, their mind is more clear. So there's a lot of benefit that comes way before they see that 10% weight loss or 20% weight loss that they think that, you know, they have to achieve in order to be happy.
Yeah, and I think it's important to help them recognize that. So at times, I found it beneficial to discuss weight plateaus either at the beginning of an obesity management program or after a significant weight loss has occurred and before plateau is reached. Is this something you think that obesity medicine specialists should routinely do, or should they wait until the plateau has occurred?
I like to be proactive. So yes, I have found that nowadays I start to tell patients about set point theory really at the first or second appointment, because I want to set the ground rules for, yes, you know, this is a long-term, lifelong journey that you're going to be embarking on. There's going to be ups and downs, but let's focus really on how are we going to improve your health. So I think the earlier that we talk about this, the better they do. And when they reach the plateau, they understand, oh, okay, I need to start making some more adjustments if I want to get to the next goal. So even before they come to me feeling frustrated, they've already started kind of thinking about what other plans they need to start implementing.
Yes, I always like to tell patients we always have a plan B, right?
Correct.
So what is the role of calorie creep in contributing to plateaus? So patients often start out very vigilant with what they're doing, but as time goes on, rationalizations kick in, like, you know, broken cookies don't really have calories or certain things like that.
Right. Definitely being very mindful of everything that you put into your mouth is something we encourage patients to do. So, you know, one of the common things that occurs after, I would say, probably 6 months into their weight loss journey, they start maybe having a few sips of Coke here, maybe going out to eat more, doing their cheat meals that become cheat days, that become cheat weekends, and then cheat months. So yes, in order to kind of always keep yourself in check, keep yourself accountable, we recommend doing food logging, because the more mindful you are about all of your actions, you can actually stay on track. Just like one of the patients that I mentioned in my talk yesterday, she recognized that one of the key issues keeping her in her weight plateau was her once a week Mexican cheat meal, in which they would go out and enjoy very, very large quantities of food plus alcohol. And she recognized that because she wasn't being mindful of those days and those calories, this was most likely preventing her from getting to the next stage.
Very good. What's the role of dysfunctional sleep habits in weight plateaus?
Oh, super, super important. I actually have a patient that specifically came to me for this problem. So she had been experiencing a weight plateau for the last year. She lost about 15 pounds on her own, was super frustrated, could not figure out what she was doing wrong. And, you know, she told me she was meal prepping every day, very religiously. She went to boot camp 5 days a week, was really working hard at it, and nothing had changed for a very long time. And when we got to talking, she told me that, yeah, she's been having sleep issues for quite some time, basically since her child was born. She only sleeps about 2 to 4 hours a night. And I asked her, how old is your child? She said 9.
Wow.
So this has been a long-term sleep disturbance issue. So what was interesting about her is that we started bupropion to help with her mood, and I figured this would also help with appetite suppression and cravings. But after about 4 to 8 weeks, nothing happened with her weight. And that's when we re-explored this sleep dysfunction in more detail. And I asked her, I said, you know, we really, really, really need to look at what you're doing with your sleep, because I think this is definitely the block to further success. And she actually ended up seeing a sleep therapist who helped her tremendously. And she's actually now able to sleep 8 hours at a time. As soon as that happened, the weight started coming down. It was an immediate thing, and you could see it in her face. Like, she looked much more relaxed. She told me that, you know, a lot of the excessive hunger, the sweet cravings, that tremendously dropped after she started sleeping. So yes, I think sleep habits are very, very crucial to making sure patients stay on track.
Very good. So how do you manage anti-obesity medications when a patient hits a weight plateau? Do you add them? Do you adjust them? Do you increase them, change them?
So usually we have a very open discussion. You know, we go through a very thorough intake about their nutrition, their water, their physical activity, their sleep, their stress. And then from there, we kind of discuss if the patient is interested in changing medication doses, or if we want to add another medicine, or just, you know, switch it out completely. The way that I kind of decide this is, you know, if there seems to be no big dietary changes or big sleep issues that we need to address, then yes, I think it would be prudent to either increase the medication dose or add on medications. So, a lot of the times my patients will be on phenermine 15 milligrams with topiramate as a starting. And if they get to a weight plateau, we can easily increase the phenermine to BID dosing so that they have less cravings and appetite later in the day. We can also increase the topiramate if they're able to. A lot of the patients are on GLP-1 agonists if they're diabetic, and frequently, you know, due to insurance, they may not be able to do semaglutide or Ozempic. So that's a good one to switch to, because Ozempic is the strongest GLP-1 agonist. And I do see better weight loss once we switch them to Ozempic and we get them all the way up to the 1 milligram dose.
One of the challenges I find with weight plateau or even weight regain is that individuals have lost a significant amount of weight, may not be comfortable with their quote unquote new body. They may have identity issues or a lack of comfort with complimentary comments that they receive. Do you see this ever playing a role in weight plateaus?
I definitely agree with this. So sometimes patients may not realize that when they lose weight, there are a lot of emotional things that may flood in. I think this is most common in bariatric surgery patients, in which they lose a lot of weight really, really quickly. So it's in a matter of months that they really transform physically. Frequently, this will present as depression, anxiety, a lot of stress, sleep issues. And obviously with that, increased cortisol levels. So yes, increased insulin issues, insulin resistance. So I do believe this definitely plays a big role. In discussing this with patients, you know, if there is a lot of mood comments that come into our discussion, then I recommend that they see a therapist to really explore this more. And I find that that is very helpful.
And I think it's important for obesity medicine specialists to be aware of that and make the appropriate referral when necessary. All right. Is intermittent fasting a treatment option for the patient in a prolonged plateau? And if so, how do you manage that? And is there any evidence to support it?
So fasting has been around for a very long time. Fasting apparently was introduced by Hippocrates even in the 5th century as a therapeutic way to treat certain illnesses. So what's old is new again. I think in weight loss, and especially in breaking the plateau, fasting can be a useful tool. Because when you are not eating, especially over a longer period of time, so 16 hours or longer of fasting, you can really decrease the amount of insulin that's produced in the body, and this helps with insulin sensitivity. Now, very importantly, fasting in and of itself is not meant for weight loss. So lots of people for centuries have been doing fasting for religious reasons. It's a spiritual cleansing. It was not meant for weight loss. So what that means is what you eat after you fast is extremely important. And there's a lot of data on that, like how you break your fast is extremely important. And high protein meals right after fasting is beneficial, whereas high carb meals after fasting can actually increase ghrelin levels. So those are important things to discuss with the patient so that they utilize fasting as a appropriate treatment. So I do find that if patients are in a plateau and they're getting frustrated with not knowing what else to change with their meal plans, how to better meal prep, fasting is a very simple tool, because when you fast, you just drink water. You don't have to plan for it. And a lot of the time, you know, some of these little creep calories that might come in, like the donut at work or the cookie at work, if you're fasting, it's much easier to just say no to that. And I think a lot of the times people may not realize that those things are being reintroduced into their diet, and fasting may be a good way to basically nix all of that.
Very good. Well, thank you for being here and sharing your insights on this very challenging and important problem for obesity medicine specialists to deal with.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Dr. Pennings and Vinton. For more information about Obesity Medicine Podcasts and other resources from the clinical leader in obesity medicine, please visit obesitymedicine.org/podcasts. Love this episode of Obesity, a Disease? Head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. The views expressed in this podcast episode are those of the show host and do not necessarily represent the opinions, beliefs, or policies of the Obesity Medicine Association or its members. Please check back again soon for another episode of Obesity, a Disease.